Counting on here. Okay. Take God's word tonight. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I want to speak to you tonight about the special miracles that God had wrought through Paul the Apostle. In Acts chapter 19, let's all stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Just read a few verses and we'll go from there. Acts chapter 19, I want to start at verse number 11. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached." I want you to keep that in mind. They're saying, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul had preached. And then it says, "There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Who are ye? They said, the spirit said. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." And verse 17 says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men." Notice it didn't say before some. It said burn them before all men. Everybody there. "And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Last verse I want to read is verse number 20. The Bible says, So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for the blessings today. Thank you for the Lord's day that we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung to uplift and glorify your holy precious name. We thank you, Lord, for the cross of Calvary and the precious shed blood and the resurrection on the third day, Lord. And now you're ascended back to the Father, making an intercession for your people. And Lord, praise you, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, one day you're coming back for the church. Oh, Lord, may we magnify your name before you return. May we just uplift and glorify you in all that we do. I pray tonight you'll speak to hearts, and if there is one in our midst tonight that is not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, has never put their faith and trust in you, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit of God would get a hold of that heart. And Father, they would come and ever live. And Father, for the Christian, there's times when we'll go through problems of suffering with Satan trying to attack us and with all the mess going on in the world. But I'm glad, Lord, that Father, you are the powerful one. You are the one in creation of all creation and ahead of everything. I pray you'll bless tonight, draw us close to you, and that we would magnify your name and the word of God would grow right in this area, wherever we were at. We thank you and we praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is Paul's, his third missionary journey. He is now in Ephesus. He had been in other areas, and now he was Ephesus. It's 2 years now. Verse number 10 says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years. 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Paul was sent out from God Almighty to preach to the Gentiles, but there was many, many Jews here in Ephesus. And by the way, this was not a very good city. It was a city of the Diana, the goddess of Diana. There was much, much black magic and much mess going on there, where people did not really truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, where they would worship this goddess Diana, where there would be many terrible things going on and all this black magic stuff and all these sorcerers and all these crazy things going on. And Paul was now in this city. Paul was now in this area, but he was been preaching now for 2 years about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that many Jews and Greeks had heard the word, but they had not a lot of them, had not come to the saving faith and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was now, you know what he did? He was a tent maker. And he would be working out there wherever he would be at, and he would be sweating. And he, just kind of like what you did the other day, man. You have to work outside, get tired, start sweating, you can't handle it. Well, Paul kind of did the same thing. And Paul would wear these little headbands around his head, and they would sweat, and he would take them off. And then Paul would wear these aprons around him, and they would get dirty and all. Let me tell you what God Almighty did for these people that needed to hear the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God, the Bible says in verse number 10, and God wrought. He didn't say miracles. He said special miracles. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And he said so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them that quick. Departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul was making his tents in the area. But Paul was also preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to get these people away from this goddess Diana, trying to get them away from the black magic and all the sorcerers and all the mess going on. Let me say this. We might not all be preachers of the gospel, but we can sure tell people that Jesus is real. We can sure tell people that Jesus is alive. We can sure let the world know that there's a risen Savior that is coming back, and they must be saved and born again, because He could come back anytime. But Paul's out there making tents. And I thought about this. They would take those headbands off of him. They would take the aprons, and they would take them to these people that had diseases. Now you talk about a special miracle. These people had never seen that before. Paul had been preaching about Jesus. Jesus wanted these people to come to Christ and be saved, because the Bible still says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus made these special miracles on these people. Could you imagine that? They would come and they would grab the it says right there, the handkerchiefs or the aprons. They would grab these and take them to the people that were sick, and they would touch them, and they would be healed immediately. Aren't you glad when you got saved, Jesus Christ saved you just like that? That's the greatest of all miracles, is the gift of salvation. But God Almighty was doing this miracle in Ephesus so these people would realize that there is a true God, that there is a living God, that there is a Savior, amen, because now He's back up in heaven with the Father. And Paul was being used by God to work these mighty miracles that God had brought out. These people had never seen nothing like this. They had never heard nothing like that whatsoever. But I'm telling you, God did that because He knew that Paul was preaching there for 2 years. And a lot of people did not believe what Paul was preaching. But then when these miracles took place, they started to think about Jesus, what Paul had been preaching about at the synagogue where he went all the time and preached the gospel. You know, I thought about that. The stuff he had on him, God had used to heal people. Do you remember the story in Acts where Peter, his shadow, when people would see that shadow, how they would be healed? I thought, that's a miracle. That can only come from God. And then I thought about it as I was studying this. You remember the woman that had went and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus that had the issue of blood for 12 years? What happened to her? She got healed immediately. But let me just say this. It wasn't just the garment. It wasn't just Paul's shadow or Peter's shadow. It wasn't just Paul's aprons and handkerchiefs that he had. Let me read what Jesus said about the woman that had the garment. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. It's about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is still working miracles today. You might not see some of the ones that we read about in the Word of God. They are amazing. They're special miracles. But God Almighty is still working miracles today. He's still saving souls today. He's still changing lives today. He's still answering prayer today. He's still taking care of our needs today. Because He's still the same God. And He's still working miracles in our lives today. Still working miracles. But He did it. I believe that Jesus had worked these miracles through Paul because Paul wanted to share the gospel. And Paul had done it for 2 years in this dark, black city, let me call it. Bad city. Not good at all. He could have left and went to Rome sooner, but he stayed there for 2 years. And many Jews and many Greeks had come to Christ, not just because of the miracles, but because of the preaching of the Word of God. Can I tell you, when the Word of God is preached, many people can come to Christ and be saved. Why is that? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So he's out there, and Paul's preaching the Word of God, and there's miracles happening. Now listen, here it is here. He said the diseases departed from him, and the evil spirits went out of him, of them also. Not just the sicknesses, not just the diseases. They didn't have to go to the hospital to get healed. They didn't have to take medicine to get healed. They didn't have to get a doctor at the house to get healed. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ, that did all the healing. Amen. And even the evil spirits came out of these people with this stuff that Paul had. It was the special miracles that God had wrought. And why was that? Because he wanted to change that city. He was tired of that mess going on. Can I tell you, there's times around that I know God Almighty looks down from heaven and he sees all the mess going on down here and all the mess going on down here and everything going on around here. Hey, let me tell you what. I believe Jesus is praying for those people, and I believe we need to be a witness like Paul was. Share the good news. Tell them about Jesus. He can work some miracles when you do that. Anyhow, the Bible says in certain of the vagabond Jews, what's that? It's a wandering Jew that went around. Vagabond, wandering. They would go around and think they were going to work some miracles. They had done it many times. If there was miracles, it would have been through Satan, not through Christ, with these people. So they went around and they would try to think they're going to heal people and do this and take the demons out of people. The vagabond Jews, and I believe the reason they did that is so they could go out and they could earn some money and put it in their pocket and make some more money and put it in their pocket and go on and on and on. They were reading books that were of the wrong mess to read. I'm glad we have one book that we can read. I'm glad that we've got the only Word of God, that very powerful Word, the 66 books of the Bible, amen. All the Word of God. There's one book that we need, praise God, and it's the book, the Bible, the B-I-B-O-E. Yes, that's the book for me, amen. The one that we must read, the one that we must understand, the one we must take at heart and learn from and trust in. Anyhow, the spirits went out of them. Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. There was people there that had these evil demons in them. They were all over the place in this place because this was a very, very, very sick, bad place to be. But don't forget, Paul was still preaching. And the synagogues, he would still show up and still preach the gospel. Some people liked it and some people didn't. He was out there. He said, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee, or adjure you by Jesus. These people were not born-again believers. These people were not followers of Christ. These people were not Christians. They were people that followed the black magic mess, people that did this and did that by these crazy books they were reading and thought they were going to work some miracles. So what did they say? It said over there, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's a good name to use. I read in some commentaries, some of the commentaries said some of these people would use the name Abraham. Some would use the name Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all these other patriarchs, people that Jesus had knew and that they had knew Jesus. They would use his name. But now that Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, now they want to use the name of Jesus. But can I tell you, they didn't know him. But they want to use the name. Why was that? Because that's what Paul was doing, preaching the gospel in the name of Christ. But you know, that was a good thought. Because I read in the Bible over Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him a name which is above every single name. Amen. His name is the greatest. He is the one and only, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the great I am. That is the greatest name that we have ever heard, praise God, is Jesus. They heard the name of Jesus, but they thought if they used it, it would make a difference. But it wasn't going to happen. And we'll read here what's going to happen here in just a moment. You know, I thought about using the name of Jesus, sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. Not just about, well, can I say this? Coming to church, coming to Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, coming to my little church at Asheville Bible Chapel, coming to this. It's not about the church. It's all about the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's why we're getting to heaven. That's why we get saved. That's why it makes a difference in our lives. The name of Jesus, because his name is unbelievable. Now, here they were. They're saying, okay, I'm going to put the name of Jesus, saying we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the Bible says in verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. This was the priest of the Sanhedrin over there. Well, you know, they didn't really trust about everything that the Word of God said. Didn't really believe that Christ was the Messiah or the Savior. But they wanted to use the name Jesus. They wanted to use that name to make a miracle with them. And the seven sons were about ready to do this. Seven of them. I'm glad there's only one son, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And one way, and one word, and one truth, Jesus. The Bible says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. But then he looked at the seven sons and said, who are ye? I don't know you. Who are you, seven sons, that's trying to take this demon out of this man? He was the demon inside the man. He said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who in the world are you? Who are you seven people? What are you doing here? You know how he knew Jesus? Let me tell you why these demons know Jesus. Because the Bible says they know Jesus, they believe, and they tremble. They knew Jesus when he died on the cross. They knew Jesus when he came back from the dead. They knew all about the Savior, amen. I know Jesus. Aren't you glad you knew Jesus? Aren't you glad you can say, I'm not sure who I know who Jesus is. I'm not sure who this man Jesus is. I'm not sure is he real. I'm glad I know he's the Messiah. I'm glad I know he's my Savior. I'm glad I know he's coming back one day for the church. And he's alive and well today. And I'm glad I know there's no doubt about it on a third day. He came back from the grave. And that gives us hope and confidence and peace in our lives. Amen. Jesus I know. And Paul I know. How do you know Paul? I'll tell you why. Because they probably were around when Paul was preaching. Yeah, sometimes Satan and his demons can come in the house of God when the man of God's preaching. If we have a singing, sometimes they can be there. And they can try to disrupt every single thing that goes on. I've heard a lot of different preachers preach different things about Satan and the demons being in the house of God and how people just kind of get this way and that way. Let me tell you what, Satan does all he can to try to attack the Christians. And bring them down. That's how he knew Paul. That's how they knew Paul. They were watching him. They were seeing what he was doing and what he was saying and the word of God that he was preaching and what he was preaching about. They knew all about it. Let me tell you what. The demons knew who Jesus was too. Remember the maniac of Gadara, Matthew 8:28? And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? And then what'd they say? Thou Son of God. Did they know Jesus was the very Son of God Absolutely they knew. Do you know today Jesus is the very Son of God? Absolutely we must know. And absolutely we must believe. They said, what have you to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of God? They didn't say, hey, prophet, hey, priest, hey, king, whatever. They say, thou Son of God. That's how the demons knew who Jesus was. Because they watched and they seen everything going on. And can I tell you, their time is coming short. They're going to be in the lake of fire one day, burning throughout all eternity. He said over there, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, the Bible says he leaped on them. That one man had a demon possessed in him. And the Bible says that that one man, those seven men were in there going to take the demon out of him, which they couldn't do because Christ wasn't in them. They didn't know. They were trying to use Jesus' name. By the way, if we're not saved, let's not even use his name. We need to know his name, amen, to be saved. Those seven men were in there trying to get ready to take the demon out, using in the name of Jesus, again, because Paul was preaching it. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on them. He not only leaped, and the Bible says he overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They were hurt. They got in pain. They went through suffering. Those seven men and that one man with the demon had all this power from Satan, and that those people got hurt and they fled out of that house in much, much pain. There was probably much shed blood. They had no clothes on. They were doing horrible. And you know what I thought about? I think they might have got a little taste of hell. How bad it's going to be in a place called hell. How much pain, suffering, and agony that they're going to go through. And that anyone that's not saved will go through that kind of pain. But the demon did all this mess, amen? But let me tell you what. You know, there's sometimes when Satan will try to attack Christian. He'll do it. His demons will try to do it. Sometimes he'll try to get us to do it, to get us so down and out and so depressed and maybe make us stop doing this and stop doing this. I'll tell you, the more we serve the Lord, the closer we are to God, the more we read the Word of God, the more we witness, the more we pray. I believe Satan tries to attack us more and more. Now listen, we might not get hurt by him. Of course, Satan can do a lot, but I'm glad God's still in control. But anyhow, listen, they can try to attack us, but here is the answer. I wrote it down. I think this is awesome. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't have to do what they did, but they went through it. A flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses and high places. Let me tell you what, we've got help with the armor of God. We've got help with the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I wrote it down here. It's the breastplate of righteousness, the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the B-I-B-L-E Bible, amen. That's why it's so important, amen. Listen, the loins girt about with truth, the feet shod with gospel peace, and the shield of faith. Put on the whole armor of God, amen. And you cannot be attacked like those seven men did, praise God. That'll do it for you. It's in the Word of God. If we have faith, if we read the Word of God and trust in Him, we've got faith. And He can't attack us like He did those seven sons. Let me tell you what, they got hurt. They were painful. You know, let me read this here. Leaped on them, he ran out of the house, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks. The Bible doesn't say this was just known to some of the Jews. It was to all the Jews and the Greeks. Everybody had heard about this. Many, many people had probably seen it. And the ones that did hear about it and saw it probably told everybody else about it. So everybody in this area had heard about what was going on. The Bible says the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. You know, let me tell you something. Satan had a lot of power there. He's still the prince in the power of the air in 2019. It's not changed. But let me read you the verse that's powerful. Let me read you the one that gives us hope. Let me read you the one that gives us joy. Let me read you the one that gives us help in this world. Over in 1 John 4:14, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. He's got all power over Satan. Amen. And if we're in the Word of God, and we love the Word of God, and we have faith in God, and we put on the armor of God, He's got no power over us. Because we've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. How many of you have been through problems? How many of you have been through trials? How many have been through temptations? How many have been through suffering? How many have been through problems in their lives? You got Jesus on your side. I like the song that Jackie sung this morning. That's one right with it. Jesus is there for you. He's there with you. And consider the lilies, amen. He's there with us all the time. All the time. And it said over there, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Magnified. It was increased. You ever get a magnifying glass? Look at a little word and put it down, it gets real big. It's like, wow, this is awesome. I like to have that with me sometimes when I'm doing stuff. Sometimes these glasses don't work. I can see you better without them, amen. But I got to put them on so I can see that. But listen, his name was magnified. It was increased. Let me tell you what, church, we must magnify the name of Jesus Christ every single day. Everybody we talk to, we need to magnify his name. I've got people down my shop that need his name magnified. I've got people that I live around that need his name magnified, lifted up, risen. Tell them about Jesus, amen. Magnify his name. Increase it more and more. And why do I say that? Because I believe Jesus is coming back real soon. It might not be long. Hey, listen, bless God Almighty, it could be tonight. We better magnify his name. We better uplift his name and give people hope. Now watch. The Bible says, and many that believed, they came and they confessed. The ones that believed. The ones that believed this message that all these people were doing, all this mess going on, all this black magic, everything happened. They believe now that this was not true. They believe now that the Bible was true. They believe now what Paul had been preaching, the Word of God was now truth. He said over there, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, what they had done, what they're going to do. By the way, once we get saved, we need to do the work of God, what he wants us to do. God gives us all gifts to do. We need to do everything that God tells us to do. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved, amen, through faith. Not by our good works. But once we get saved, we need to start doing good works for God the Father. Glorify so they can be glorified in heaven, amen. He said they believed, came and confessed and showed their deed. They heard and saw what had happened. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened with the seven men? What happened when Paul was preaching the Word of God? They put the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? Paul had been preaching there now for 2 years. And you know nothing like this had happened. If you study it, nothing like this had happened in Ephesus until this mess happened with these demons. And this terrible stuff happened with these seven sons. And all of a sudden, people started believing in the name of Jesus. You know, I believe when terrible things go on, I'll never forget, what was it, September 11th, was it 2001? When the planes, was it 01? I remember that it was a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. I remember hearing George Bush on the radio. He shut all, it was 41,000 flights shut down. And I remember people were praying, people that never prayed before. And I remember that night, my pastor called me up and he said, you need to come here. We need to get to the altar and we need to pray for this country. I said, I'll be there. And there was a multitude of people that showed up. There was many people that came. Why? Because some terrible things had been happening and people thought it was the end of the world. People thought that it was over with. People thought that they were going to die. People didn't know what was going on when them two planes hit those twin towers and all those people were killed. People, what'd they do? They came to church. They started reading the Word of God. That's exactly what happened here in Ephesus. They came and they preached the Word of God and more people would come to church every Sunday night. I met all kinds of different people. Remember the people that would have the flags on their trucks and their cars? And you remember, I remember this. You remember people sometimes when they come in front of you, boy, they'll blow the horn at you or they'll make all kind of bad noises or yell at you. Back then in 01, September the 11th, 12th, maybe for a couple months, they'd stop and let you go by because they cared about people. They were concerned about it. There was bad things going on in the world. But I tell you what, they started to come to Jesus. A lot of people, I believe, got saved through that. I really believe that. That's the same thing that happened here in Ephesus. Same exact thing. Many, many people came, they confessed, and they believed. Well, that's what happened. Many of them also which used curious arts, which were the evil spirits, practiced how they practiced the evil spirits through all the books that they had. All the books. Watch this. They brought their books together and burned them before all men. They had a big bonfire out there somewhere in Ephesus. Now, can you imagine how many books they had? I read this and I'm like, wow. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's how much they said that the books were worth. 50,000 pieces of silver. You know, if you think about that, on the Greeks in the New Testament, that would be like, what, one day's wages. And let me tell you something, 50,000 pieces, that would be 50,000 days of wages. And I had to figure out how many years. It was 137 years that somebody would have to work to get that kind of wage back. They took those books, they burned them. You say, wait a minute, why didn't they sell them to somebody else? Why didn't they give them to some of those other crazy people that did it? Because they didn't want that bad news to keep going on. They didn't want all that mess to keep happening. Why? They were doing the same thing because they got Jesus as their Savior. Because they confessed, they believed in the Lord. I remember one time years ago when I first started to go to State Line Baptist in 93. I remember one time it was a Sunday night. And Pastor Cunningham was preaching the Word of God, and he had spoken to the people, the young people, the Sunday before, and said, you know, you young people, now that you're saved, he said, I know you've probably got CDs, you've probably got books, you've probably got all kind of stuff in your lives that you need to get rid of. And you know, that Sunday night, these young people, they brought a ton of books. They brought a ton of magazines. They brought a ton of CDs. And they, when Preacher Cunningham got done, they all came to the altar. And they put all the books down. And they put all the CDs down. And they put all the magazines down. And Preacher Cunningham prayed for them. And they took those things. I don't know if they burned them, but I think they just threw them all in the dumpster and got rid of them. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what these people did. They loved those books. They studied those books. They believed those books. But once they accepted Christ and believed Jesus, amen, they burned the books. They got rid of them completely. There's things in our lives that we might have had before we got saved. There's things in our lives that we might have did before we came to Christ. There's things in our lives that put us back before we got saved. It's time to get rid of them. It's time to burn them before Satan and before the world. Get rid of them. Get them out of your life. It'll only cause problems in your life. And that's exactly what they did. They took all those books. They had a big bonfire. And they burned them all. I bet you Satan was terribly aggravated in all his demons. 50,000 pieces of silver. In verse 20, I'll stop here. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. The word of God then grew mightily after preacher and Paul was there preaching the word of God. After all this mess took place about the seven sons of Sivaka, how they got hurt and wounded and were bleeding. There was miracles going on. And after Paul and Jesus had did all these miracles with what had God had done through Paul. Let me tell you what, God still wants to use you and I today. Yeah. He said over there in verse number 12, so that from his body, God was going to work the miracles through the napkins and all the aprons. Let me tell you something. God don't need us, but he wants to use us. He wants to use your hands. Hand out a gospel track. He wants to use your feet. Come on and come to church with me today. He wants to use your mind. Pray for other people. He wants to use your body to go out and share the good news. Why is that? Because the word of God will grow and grow and grow more and more. You know, the gospel was spreading and lives were being changed because of the word of God that Paul had been preaching and the miracles and also the seven sons of Siva. But watch this, Hebrews 4:12. This is for us. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God has grown. It's gotten big now in Ephesus. Paul's probably got more people coming in the house of God. Do you want the word of God to grow where you're at, in your area, in your home, in your workplace, in this church? Hey, listen, go out and share the good news. Live a Christian life. Do what we ought to do. The Word of God will grow. And it'll prevail. To prevail means to win. To come out up on top. I'm going to finish with this. Paul said in verse 20, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. He wanted to go to Rome. Wait a minute, Paul. Everything that's going on here in Ephesus, all the souls that are being, all the lives that are being changed, everything that's happening, now you want to go to Rome? Because God had called him to do that. What did they say back in the old days? All roads lead to Rome. He knew there was many, many, many people there. He knew that many, he didn't go there just to want to see the streets or see the big buildings or see all the mess. He wanted to go there for one reason, just like he went to Ephesus, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he went. It was a mess there. Those seven sons been that hurt. But it was wonderful that God Almighty wrought the special miracles through Paul. It was wonderful that many, many people came, the Jews and the Greeks both, and got saved. Here's the question and the thought. You want to see the Word of God prevail. You want to see it grow. You want to see more people come to the house of God. You want to see more people come to Christ. You want to see the church grow. You want to see more people come in and worship the Lord. More people all around Cecil County. More people all around, can I say where I'm at, Newcastle County. Hey, listen, they need to hear the gospel of Christ. And how do you do that? By preaching. And my friends, let me tell you what. That's what Paul did. And Christian, sometimes you might be going through problems in your life. Sometimes you might have heartaches. Sometimes Satan might try to attack you and bring you down and get you discouraged. But you put on the whole armor of God. You stay close to the Lord, and He'll do everything for you. Mary, can you play us a little song on the piano?